Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, we have a title for episode 8. Yep, it's official. Episode 8, The Last Chance for Skype. How about that? We are having Skype issues, but that's not going to thwart us because you have found the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Episode 29, guys. Welcome.
29 times.
We've done it 29 times in the last year.
That's great.
It's not bad. Not too bad.
Not too shabby.
Well, I'm Steve Baldwin, and joining me tonight, as always, my Wretched Hive Podcast host, co-hosts, including the lover of everything Ewok, Greg Lent.
Meow, sexy time it is. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for having me on again. Welcome, listeners of the Wretched Hive. We are very far into this journey. As a matter of fact, this is a new beginning. It is the beginning of year 2 for the Wretched Hive. And as always, we expect great things. This will be the Empire Strikes Back year of podcasts for the Wretched Hive.
Nice.
You hope not?
That's not. No, cool. Maybe. I like episode 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, it's, or it may be the Attack of the Clones year for the Wretched Hive.
Oh, please, oh, God!
Attack of the Podcast. Nice. We also have joining us lifelong Star Wars fan Scotty Vansky.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Nanu, Nanu.
Nanu, Nanu, and to you. Wow.
It's going to be a great second year. It's been an amazing, fun, crazy first year, but definitely an Empire Strikes Back year for us. Sorry, Nico. I'm not going down in flames. I'm not doing Attack of the Clones. I can't do it.
It could be a Jaws 2 year for us.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know. Didn't Roy Scheider do that one, too? He's in Jaws 2, isn't he?
He's in 2. I don't think he's in 3 or 4. Yeah. Oh. 4 is a classic.
Number 3 had Leia Thompson and, ooh, Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, that's right.
Leia Thompson.
And Lou Gossett Jr.
That's right. Lou Gossett Jr. is in that. That's the SeaWorld one in Florida, right?
That's right.
In 3D, which was amazing.
In 3D, yes. Amazing, no.
All right, go.
Was it the blue and red 3D?
Yep, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Sweet, sweet.
It was.
Hey, I still have my Jaws 3D tops cards, man, in 3D. I have the little glasses that came with them that don't even fit on your head, so
great. I think the original proposed title for that one was Jaws 3 Humans 0.
Still, 4 is the best, man. This time,
the revenge,
it's personal.
This time it's personal.
This time it's personal.
Also joining us, we've got, back by popular demand, our fans demanded it, and he is here, the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
I am here. Please hold the applause. I will sign autographs after the show. Thank you.
Now, Nico, I'm not kidding. We had a couple people texting and calling us saying, hey, where's Nico?
Wait, we have people sexting?
Did you say sexting?
Anything text involving me is always a sext. You gotta know. That's what happens when you're a beast.
Nice.
Smooth B.
And finally, we have,
boy, do we,
Dave! No circumstances.
Except for
tonight.
Should you ever
like if he's late for a podcast.
Ever!
Like an hour late?
Call him.
Dirty.
Harry Potter.
Welcome to year two. Greetings and salutations. And I guess the motto for year two here is more beer and hookers. That's what we're looking for.
I've got half of that covered right now.
That was the title of episode 8, More Beer and Hookers.
That was the working title?
Didn't know if you knew that.
That was the working title. That was to throw us all off.
Well, if you want to tell us about your experiences with beer and hookers, we would be glad to listen. You can check us out on Facebook. Tell us all about your stories. Facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. Better yet, leave us a voicemail. Call 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And there is about a 100% chance your voicemail will get played on the air. So be careful what you tell us about your beer and hooker stories.
Yeah, especially if you're using your real name.
Yeah. Or sexting. That's right. All right, guys. Well, let's just jump right into it. We've got quite a bit of news to cover tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, guys, we're 314 short days away from episode 8. And now we have a title, guys. The Last Jedi, reported widely, but most notably StarWars.com. The official title for Star Wars Episode 8 revealed. We have the greatest fans in this or any galaxy, according to StarWars.com. In appreciation of the fans, we wanted them to be the first to know that the title of the next chapter in the Skywalker saga, which is interesting. Got to talk about that.
I found that very interesting, too, the Skywalker saga.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi. So there's a lot to talk about here, guys. First of all, I would just like to get your gut reaction. What do you think of the title, without getting into the other stuff, what do you think of the title, The Last Jedi?
Who's going to take it? Who's going first?
I like it. I like it because Jedi can be singular or plural, so we don't really know if they're talking about are they referring to Luke? Are they referring to Rey? Are they referring to Snoke? Are they referring to all three? Are they referring to something we don't know yet? That's why I like it. And the thing that struck me about the announcement that I still kind of noodle about, Star Wars logo, the title, first time the outline letters have ever been in red that way.
And what does red usually represent in the Star Wars universe?
Sith.
That's right. Now, this is not the first time that you've used red, though.
Yes, I read outline, I think. I think they've done solid red, but not the outline like that.
I thought that Revenge of the Sith was outlined in red like that.
I could be wrong, and I encourage anybody out there to fact check me. But I think that it was the Revenge of the Sith was a solid red akin to the Return of the Jedi solid red.
Okay. Mm. That's right. Jedi was in red as well.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the Star Wars name. That was just the subtitle of the episode title, wasn't it? Or was the whole thing in red?
They had the Star Wars kind of in a little, bar above the title, and I think it was in red. But the emphasis was on, Return of the Jedi as opposed to Star Wars at that point in the branding.
Okay, for me, and Nico, we're going to let you go next, but for me, the Star Wars Last Jedi, fine title, great. I consider myself a Star Wars fan. I would even go so far as to say I consider myself a Star Wars super fan.
You should think about hosting a podcast.
I will consider hosting a podcast in the very near future. Mm-hmm. I will have an announcement very soon.
Okay. Duly noted.
I did not even notice the red lettering until people were like freaking out about it. When I say people were freaking out about it, people were fucking freaking out about this. I'm like, this is red letters, people. Who gives a shit?
I think you're right. That's a good point, but you're right. I think the point is, and we just had this discussion, is the fact that Star Wars is the one that's outlined in red. Where typically it was the other way, like the box around Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, if that was one of them. I can't remember now. Terrible. I should have this already in my head here. I had a whole bunch of other things I wanted to talk about this title, but back to you, Greg. I just wanted to point a good point on that, but keep going.
I was done. I don't know what all the hoopla is over red lettering. I like Dave pointed on. I like the intrigue of the Last Jedi. Who is the Last Jedi? Let's have a conversation about who the Last Jedi is. Is the Last Jedi going to be this person? Is the Last Jedi going to be another person? Is the Last Jedi going to be somebody we don't even know? But no, we're going to sit here and talk about red fucking lettering.
Right.
Well, leave it to Star Wars fans to, you know, never overanalyze things, right? I mean, so I've got on my screen here, I don't know if you guys can see that, but the Return of the Jedi logo. So you've got Star Wars that forms the top part of a box that the letters Return of the Jedi are inside. The whole thing is in the, you know, on top of the star field, and the whole thing is red.
Right, that was right. The modified logo because they had changed originally from Revenge of the Jedi. But I mean, the concept itself was different from the first two movies. It's still the same font, the Star Wars, but it doesn't have Star Wars above everything else or above and below. I'm trying to remember how it all played out in the original saga. All the logos were below the Star Wars logo, the title.
Yeah, wasn't it? Didn't some of them have like Star and then Wars on the bottom, with the title of the movie in between? I mean, this started with the split Star Wars with the movie title in between the Star and the Wars started just with Episode 7.
I think so.
Correct.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So I want to jump in on a couple things that you guys have already brought in. I know Nico, you want to jump in on this, but just give me 1 second. I don't want to argue something. I do want to bring something up to kind of contrast something Dave pointed out. You brought up a good point about Jedi, whether it's singular or a plural. It could be many Jedi. But there's a couple of interesting points about that I think we should talk about. And one of them is the fact that Luke is referenced in The Force Awakens twice as the Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I know it's vague. I know it's open for interpretation. We don't know anything about it other than the title itself. But the fact that his name is actually mentioned in the opening crawl as the Last Jedi, and also I believe Snoke is one of the people that says out loud in the film that he is the Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I think that should be noted as well in this conversation.
Well, I don't think it's vague at all. I mean, it calls it out in the crawl.
No. I'm saying what's vague is the title of Episode 8. The Last Jedi. We don't know anything about it. I'd like to just point out the fact that it does say in the crawl. Are you pulling up right here, Steve? Let me see.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. But I think it references that they will the resistance, not the resistance, not the Empire. What am I trying to say?
The First Order.
The First Order will not stop until Skywalker, the Last Jedi, is destroyed.
That's correct.
Now, I
have to pause for a second to just appreciate that the video link capability on Skype is working for the first time ever for us on a podcast.
Pretty amazing.
Are you guys seeing my screen, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And it's amazing, let me tell you.
Yeah, we see everything history right now.
There's a lot more porn on this than I would have anticipated.
Yeah. So hot.
So is it my turn yet? Because I think you guys are focusing on the wrong things here.
Let's hear it. What do you think?
Enlighten us, Nico.
Get us off the red lettering, please.
You guys are thinking about the word last, as in first and last, as in there will not be more. How about last as in he was the last known Jedi, and there could be the next Jedi?
Yeah.
Not so much like being last in line or being the last of your kind, but he was the last known Jedi. And we are now getting to the point where we're going to have the next Jedi of the universe and the galaxy coming into the saga.
And I think that's a great point.
Being that Episode 7 was so much about finding this piece of the map so we can go find Luke, now we've found Luke. He was the Last Jedi, and now it's time for the next Jedi. That's what this whole trilogy is about, is the new generation of Star Wars. They've talked about that so many times. I mean, off screen, like not even just in the movie, but about how this is for the new generation of Star Wars fans, the next, you know, saga and kind of stepping stone for where this franchise is going to go. This is the last Jedi, and now it's time for the next Jedi.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Nico. I want to throw a couple things in on top of that, because there are a few more things that have been brought up and talked about online. And I know I'm going to put this up as well. I keep saying that in these podcasts, and I have a ton of stuff I need to upload to our Facebook page. But great point on the Last Jedi talk. There's another theory out there that they're talking about possibly the Last Jedi, as in we don't know who Snoke is, and Snoke has, I think, been mentioned as being like ancient, old. He's been around for a long time, has seen a lot of stuff happen in the background of everything that we know in this universe. So there's still the theory that he is Darth Plagueis.
Easy there, son.
And that this could be, he was the first Jedi that went to the dark side, and now he will be the last Jedi. Now, that's just a theory that's out there. There's more to kind of back that up and explain some of that stuff. But the other thing that I thought was very fascinating, and this is something I really want to point out, and this is what I really want to put up on our page too, is that if you put the two first, I guess, teaser posters together side by side, Episode 7 and Episode 8, have the starfield in the background, the lettering Star Wars, the title, and then the two titles in between the letters of Star Wars, it does spell out The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. I thought that was an interesting concept.
So the next movie is going to be called From His Nap?
From His Nap.
That's right.
from his beach hammock.
So are we going to hear Snoke and one of the holograms yell out, "Who dare disturbs my slumber?"
Well, what I thought was interesting about this is that it says Luke Skywalker has vanished, and then later in the crawl says Skywalker, the last Jedi, has been, you know, they will not rest until he's been destroyed. Or Skywalker's been destroyed. Are they still talking about Luke? Or could the Skywalker that needs to be destroyed be someone else?
Ah, the old Son of Skywalker gag.
Mm. Are you still? No.
No? You disagree?
He said no, and then maybe.
Well, we all know
well,
that.
I mean, for my whole Rey's a clone theory, if that's true, she's still technically a Skywalker, so.
Well, we all know that Rey's a Kenobi. That's been pretty much confirmed.
OMG, Becky.
Besides the fact that you keep mentioning, or I'm assuming you're talking about Rey, there are two Skywalkers in the film.
Confirmed Skywalkers.
There are two confirmed Skywalkers. Yes. You have Luke and you have Leia.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
No, she's still going to be in the movie.
She's still in the movie.
Yeah.
Did she finish shooting or?
Yeah, she finished shooting.
Oh yeah.
They came out a couple days afterwards and said that she finished all of the scenes she was required for. I mean, she probably would have been brought back for something, and they all were. But they had everything they needed from her with the time she passed.
Yep.
She will not do anything to do with Episode 9, though. So if they had her story continuing into Episode 9, they are fucked.
Nico, you can listen to the January 21st episode of The Wretched Hive if you need to updating on that.
Yeah, you should check out the show called The Wretched Hive. They talk about it a lot, actually.
Why? It's a bunch of middle-aged fucking nerds that just make shit jokes.
Woo! The thing I think about sometimes, though, is if you know, clairvoyantly, they could have known that they wouldn't, you know, that they're not going to have Carrie Fisher for Episode 9, would they still have killed Han Solo off in Episode 7? And wouldn't it have been interesting to have seen Harrison Ford acting Han Solo at a Princess Leia funeral? Just think about the reaction shots and the face that he would have given in character for that.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to get the vice versa version of that probably.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see the Han Solo funeral and with Carrie doing some acting there.
No, we all have praised, and deservedly so, Harrison Ford and his enthusiasm for coming back to Star Wars and promoting it more than any other of the original cast. I mean, I saw Harrison Ford more than I saw Carrie Fisher, more than I saw Mark Hamill on the circuit, so to speak. And after the fact, he did a couple of specials. He did that Disney special where they announced the Star Wars land opening up, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That wasn't awkward at all, by the way.
So the guy, you know, came back to the Star Wars fold with a vengeance, but I think the reason for that was he wanted out of this franchise, not maliciously. I don't think there was anywhere really interesting he thought his character could go. So the most interesting thing he could do, he felt, was die. And I don't necessarily disagree with that.
The one thing we're not going to get, though, presumably, is the scene with Han and Luke and Leia together. You know, I would love to see the three, you know, primary actors together again on the screen, and we're not going to get that.
Well, yeah, even when the character Han Solo died in Force Awakens, that was the thing that really, you know, and embarrassing to say, really choked me up, is that we weren't going to get the Han Solo Luke Skywalker reunion that I think everybody wanted,
right.
and that's not going to come. So that really bummed me out more than anything else in that movie, that wasn't going to happen. It really gave me an aww moment. So mm-hmm.
yeah,
for and sure. Luke has become so powerful to where he can save his loved ones from death.
Except for his sister.
Except for,
ow. Wow.
He can only do it once, man. He can only do it once. Oh,
not too soon, apparently. Well, did you guys see that Rian Johnson, of course, the director of Episode 8, posted on his Twitter feed the opening first few lines of the crawl for Episode 8. It says, Episode 8, The Last Jedi. It's a black and white photo of someone sitting in an editing bay. And they just dropped it in there, and he dropped a picture online. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I will say I was completely, I think on the last podcast, maybe the podcast before, giving a shout out to Mark Hamill's Comic-Con show, Pop Culture Quest. He teased an Episode 8 spoiler coming up, and in watching the show, it was the 8th episode of his show that he was spoiling. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Are you telling me Mr. Mark Hamill has some sort of snarky, kind of crazy thing?
It's kind of odd, but there it was. And I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, man.
Wow.
Now, Rian Johnson's also been out. He's doing quite a bit of media right now. In post-production, I suppose he has more time than he had when they were filming. But he was quoted on ScreenCrush.com talking about his influences. And I thought this was an interesting article. This is Rian Johnson talking about his cinematic influences. 12 O'Clock High was a big touchstone. Of course, 12 O'Clock High, classic Gregory Peck movie, World War II fighter pilots. He says, for the feel and the look of aerial combat, as well as the dynamic between the pilots, Three Outlaw Samurai for the feel of the sword fighting and the general sense of pulpy fun, and To Catch a Thief was a great film to rewatch. So I like when we figure out what makes these directors tick. Of course, Rian Johnson also having directed Looper, which was great, great sci-fi movie, came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I really liked that movie. That was a fun, interesting twist on the time travel one with Bruce Willis and Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, exactly. That was a fun film.
I liked that a lot. I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. He says, I found myself constantly wanting to push modern idioms into the dialogue. This is of Episode 8. And sometimes that can work, but you have to be very careful. If you go too far, you can break the Star Wars spell. The other challenge is the tech talk, which has to be simultaneously complex enough to sound real and conceptually simple enough to follow. The original films were brilliant at that. So like Rian Johnson a lot, he's making the interview rounds and seems like a good guy, and much like J.J. Abrams, he's a Star Wars fan making Star Wars. So, good stuff. Good stuff. So I wanted to run down real quick our timeline here for these movies. The upcoming Star Wars films. Now, this is from the Daily.com. So, of course, we have a Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, December 15th of this year. 314 short days away. Following that, we've got the Han Solo movie scheduled 5 months later, May 25th, 2018. Now, if that happens, that's going to be pretty fun to have Star Wars over Christmas and then Star Wars as we enter summer.
Do you think that they're going to put Episode 9 out in May of 2019 then instead of December? Do you think they're trying to go back to the May releases?
Well, this article quotes Star Wars Episode 9 as being in 2019, but there's no solid date. If they did that, we could potentially have three Star Wars movies in a 12-month period.
Otherwise, we would have to wait over a year and a half between Han Solo and Episode 9 if they went for a December release of 2019.
Well, if Han Solo, May 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see December 2019, right? Yeah, a year and a half. Yeah, you're right.
Mm. Does anybody not see them pushing Han Solo back to December, though?
I'm all for pushing it. That's going to be a long wait in between those two.
I think that the way they produced, you know, everything was originally slated. Everything going back to Episode 7 was originally slated to start in May. They've all been pushed back to December. They haven't pushed back Han Solo yet, but I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
They're a year away from that movie, and they just started shooting it.
I'm expecting that announcement next month, actually, Greg.
And then last on this list is Star Wars Anthology movie. We don't know what it is yet. Although, of course, Boba Fett has been long rumored. That is scheduled for 2020.
So what do you guys think about the possibility now that we've seen super kick-ass Vader, what do you guys think about the possibility of a Vader solo movie? Would that sell?
Oh, my God. Yes.
You know,
please.
The initial thought and idea is hell yeah. I agree, Nico. I totally do. But I don't know. There's something about the fact that we got to see Vader in such a limited quantity in Rogue One, and it was so badass to see him. Although there is the pun moment, which we discussed about Rogue One, that he has.
Choking on his ambitions.
Don't choke on
your ambitions.
But I got to say, I think him in limited amounts is better. And if we get something where it's just, it better be the best damn script ever to pull it off. Otherwise, you're going to kill the idea of such a badass villain, one of the best villains of all time.
Yeah. Well, they've already got the story arc with the comic books. I mean, if that were to be true, I don't think that comic book line would have been very interesting or
fun
at all.
I think the comic book idea is a different beast in itself. I think it just, you know, it's fascinating because you can kind of get this at your own leisure, read the story, get this kind of cool concept, learn some backstory history and all that fun stuff, and watch him kill a bunch of people. That's awesome.
First of all, the comic books, the Darth Vader comic books put out by Marvel, which I think I think the run just ended at 25 or was that the Star Wars book that ended it? No, Darth Vader ended at 25. So it just ended. 25, maybe 26 issues. Was great. Fantastic. Go out, buy them, read them, love them. They're really, really good. You won't be disappointed. But real world example, the Avengers movie, I think everybody kind of agrees the breakout star of the first Avengers movie was the Hulk, right? Everybody loved the performance of the Hulk. They made two pretty mediocre movies, and they're still gun shy about making another one because it's hard to make that character. It is hard to make a good story for where that character carries the whole movie. And I think you run into similar problem, like with Vader. He's, like Scott says, he's great in short bursts, but I don't know if he carries the whole movie or not. I love the comic books. I would love them to see them do something justice. I don't know. I think he's better served as the creature in the background. They used him perfectly in Rogue One.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know that Vader could carry a movie, if for no other reason than there is just not a lot of expression to be found on that face of his. It's like it's carved and etched in plastic.
It's as if he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, the many faces of Vader t-shirt exists for a reason.
Well, it's also why the fan made videos of like Vader trying to date the pink Darth Vader. Have you guys seen that? No. It's so hilarious. I don't know what it's called, but I gotta find that before we get offline. It's the best.
I've never seen that.
I think you made that up, actually.
I did not make it up.
I've seen the videos of the Darth Vader being the nighttime shift manager of a grocery store in the UK.
Yes.
Wasn't there a Darth Vader as Santa Claus video too?
But you know, that's why those are ridiculous and funny, because Vader's in every scene and he's like acting like a normal person and not such a badass, and it's funny, you know. So I agree. I think Vader in short bursts is scarier and frightening and more. It just works. It works. And if you look at all the original movies, the original trilogy, that's what you get. You don't get Vader in long sequences. You get Vader in short bursts, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. A New Hope, it's like the first thing you do is you see him come busting onto that ship, and he's scary as hell. And he chokes and kills Captain Antilles. And then he's out. He's like, holy crap, that dude just killed the captain of that ship. Like nothing. And he's done.
Now, the other Twitter piece I had to mention this week was Chris Miller, director of the Han Solo standalone film, had a nice a photo that he took on the set on January 30th. And he's got the film slate that sort of like action, click. And yeah. The title of the movie on that picture, it's a Star Wars Red Cup. Obviously a reference to Solo. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And what was the caption on his Twitter, which was also another zinger that he had there?
Oh, he said Han first shot.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of Han shot first.
Right.
They're clever guys. I still that building it way up in my head, and I'm setting myself up for the supreme disappointment. But I think this is really, I think this has the potential to be the most fun that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Well, that cast is amazing, and we actually had more news from Woody Harrelson, who this week seemingly confirmed his role in the Han Solo film. This is CBR.com quoting him as saying, Harrelson was asked if he can confirm that his character is Garrus Shrike, a figure from the Star Wars expanded universe. So I was hoping to get Scott's opinion on this, if you know the character Garrus Shrike, Scott.
I know a little bit. I'm actually kind of bummed right now. I gotta chime in. We have a man down. We lost Dave here, so I'm hoping he'll jump back in just a second, because I know Dave wanted to kind of talk about this also.
Okay.
But I can kind of fill in a little bit. Yes, I do know who he is. And I did do a little bit of research just to make sure I was on the right path. It's been a while, but yeah. He was. Do you want me to jump in right now or go for it?
Yeah,
or?
No, go ahead. I mean, according to this article, the character is from an expanded universe novel called The Paradise Snare.
Yes,
and Garrus Shrike was the man who raised an orphan Han Solo.
That is correct, and I had such an interesting way I was going to try and present this. He was not a nice guy, a nice character, but he was the one who kind of showed Han Solo the ways of being a smuggler, I think teaching him how to fly the ship, kind of getting him on the path of just being a scoundrel. in that sense, it's an interesting dynamic between the characters, but I think what's more fascinating, if you look at it in a deeper point of view, is there's this weird kind of abuse situation that's going on.
Whoa. Hey, it's Ryan with some Thor Ragnarok news.
Wow.
Hey, Brian.
Wow. Hey.
Wow.
Hi, Brian.
Brian jumping in.
Brian jumping in for our Thor Ragnarok hat coming up next.
Sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No worries. I'm like, hey, we got guests? This is awesome. No. It just seems like the way that they kind of play it out is it's one of the reasons why the character of Han Solo becomes so cynical is because there is this kind of mental abuse that's going on between the two, between his character and how he's kind of raising this young kid, this Han Solo. It's neat to see how that plays out into the character that we know and love from A New Hope. Makes a lot more sense when we see him in the bar for the first time in the cantina. But it's a fun, interesting look. I know it's not canon anymore, but it is. It's worth your time to kind of go back and learn a little bit of the history of this character, Han Solo, especially before this movie. Maybe some stuff might be the same. They might pull some of this information. Obviously, this character is going to be coming over. So,
Now, are they plan? Do you know if they're planning any books? You know how they're really doing a great job of planning the release of novels around the movie, so you get a little preview of what's going on in the movies. Do you know if there's something like that planned for Han Solo by chance?
I don't. I do know that books do exist that came out back in the late 70s, early 80s. There was the Han Solo trilogy that was they weren't bad. Mm-hmm. They were okay. Not as bad as some of the other ones we've discussed in the past. But I'm not sure about any new ones. That would be kind of cool if they do tie it in and try and build up some of the hype for these expanded universe characters that they're pulling over and into this film. I think that would be a fun read right there.
I mean, it's hard to beat the courtship of Princess Leia.
Damn hard. Oof.
All right. Classic, my friend. Well, I think we've lost Dave, so I don't... do you want to try to dial him back in?
Well, If I can, well, we're waiting on Dave's status as Scott's pushing buttons over there. From the casual reader that is myself, having read the Claudia Gray book Bloodline, and then I don't remember who wrote Catalyst. Do we remember who wrote it? He was a veteran who wrote Catalyst.
It's not Lucino, is it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was Lucino, James okay. Lucino. I think that's the name that jumps out at me. You're right. Lucino writes more Gray Road, actually, because I was not a big fan of Bloodline. I just wasn't a fan. Catalyst, huge fan of, and I know that we got Thrawn coming up with hello there, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Thrawn's coming up as. In just a couple of months, I think Thrawn comes out. The new Timothy Zahn book, Thrawn. Dave, do you have a release date on it? Yeah, it comes out in April.
Cool.
I was saying how I wanted more Lucino and Zahn and less Claudia Gray.
How about Chuck Wendig? Because his next book comes out in about 3 weeks.
You hated both of his books so far, right?
And I'm going to hate read the third one.
And Dave, we were just talking about... the Han Solo film. Do you think, or have you heard of any book releases that are coming that are centered around that film in support of that film?
I have not yet.
Okay.
And my suspicion on that is if they announce it at this point, it'll give too much of the plot away too early, because I think everybody's kind of expecting that the Han Solo movie will center around how he gets the Millennium Falcon from Lando, and I'm actually feverishly hoping they go in a different direction and don't give us what we're looking for. Maybe keep that moment off camera for a second Han Solo movie or third Han Solo movie.
That would be the ultimate tease, though, wouldn't it? If everybody knows that he's got the Millennium Falcon later on and they put Lando in control of it all through the movie and don't resolve that towards the end of the movie, that's deliciously evil.
The most famous Sabacc game ever played.
Yeah.
Yes.
So guys, I'm sorry, Steve. I wanted to jump back on those three original Han Solo trilogy books were called. They were the Han Solo Adventures. Those were called Han Solo at Star's End, Han Solo's Revenge, and Han Solo and the Lost Legacy. Mm-hmm. The one you're talking about came out later, I believe, in the 90s. The Paradise Snare, Rebel Dawn, and the Hutt Gambit are the ones that were the second trilogy. That mentioned, what's his name, Woody Harrelson's character, Garrick, Oh my goodness, I'm blanking out. I'm blanking out, guys.
I closed my tab. Sorry.
No, no worries.
I do not have it. All right, well, guys, we're going to take a little break, and we need to acknowledge our sponsor for this week, and that is Audible.com, and I'm going to hand it off this week to Scott.
Well, thanks, Steve. All right. For you, the listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There are over 250 Star Wars titles available, including this one. Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Ooh.
Written by R.A. Salvatore and narrated by Jonathan Davis. Now, this is my little favorite. Piece. I had to throw this out there because we have talked about this before, so this is what I got for you guys, especially for you guys.
I hope the clip is Jonathan Davis from Korn reading it, though.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? This one is special to us here at the Wretched Hive, considering how much we have lambasted this movie and mutually agree across the board, without a doubt, feel that this is the worst of the seven legacy films. Now, here's your chance, Hive listeners, to listen for yourself and to see how much was changed, altered, added to, improved upon, etc., etc. Is Amazon's average rating of 4 out of 5 stars for this novel correct? Seriously, 4 out of 5?
Wow. What the heck?
Could this be better than the movie? Download it now and let us know what you think here at The Hive.
4 out of 5. We do have a clip. Here it is, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, as written by R.A. Salvatore and narrated by Jonathan Davis.
Just the smooth and rounded forms of wind-blown sand dunes. Somewhere out in the distance, a creature groaned. A plaintive sound that resonated within her. Her son Anakin, her dearest little Annie, turned 20 this night. A birthday Shmi commemorated yearly, though she hadn't seen her beloved child in a decade.
Jonathan Davis does such a good job with narrating those books. Every single one he does is great.
Freak on a Leash is my favorite song.
Well, if you want to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/hive. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audio download. And thank you for that, Scott.
Oh, no, thanks for taking that last part. I was losing my voice right there. Oh, man.
More Jamesons is what I recommend.
Four out of five stars.
Wow.
Yeah, my brain kind of locked up on 4 out of 5 stars for the novelization.
I seriously, when I went to go find that clip, I'm like, I'm just going to look just for the hell of it. I went through all of Audible.com's books, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna research this even more. I went to Amazon. I'm like, 4 out of 5, this is going on the podcast. Are you kidding me?
I think it's reviewed by 2 people. I think it's R.A. Salvatore and Jonathan Davis.
Ironically, it is Jonathan Davis from Korn reviewing it, though. He's a huge Star Wars fan. I didn't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that. Oh, man.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, talking about awesome, this was in the news a week ago or so, and I really wanted to get this on the air, guys. This is so much fun. MovieWeb.com captured an audio tape that somebody recorded in a theater in 1977. Don't know if you had a chance to listen to this yet, but it's so fun. It's a live inside of a theater in 1977, an audience reacting to the Death Star explosion, to the last scene of A New Hope. And it's really well done. And so the article talks about how in May of 2013, a YouTube user named William Forsh uploaded this video.
May the Forsh be with you.
I cannot believe I let that one go by. Wow, my goodness. Wow. And then 2 years later, a user named Homer Thompson re-edited the audio so the sound was a little bit better and matched the picture. So this is so much fun, and hopefully I can play it. Let me play just the last bit of it here. Let me see here. Let me fast forward. No, that's too far. Come Anyway, got to go find this video because you listen to the crowd is reacting. It's about the last 3 minutes of the film. Luke in the trench run blows up the Death Star. The crowd claps, and I just got a thrill. It just was like being back in the theater again.
Damn, I got goosebumps listening to that. That was awesome.
Yeah, movieweb.com. Really, really fun. But, you know, not everybody is a fan of Star Wars, guys. There's some critics out there, believe it or not. And one of them that came up in the last few weeks, somebody named John Williams. Ever heard of him?
Nope.
Hack.
This guy.
We've talked about him on the show a few times. First of all, he admitted, this is on Huffington Post, he's never seen Star Wars.
What?
Ugh. John Williams has never seen Star Wars. And on top of that, he doesn't think much of his scores.
I'm okay with that, but I'm going to call bullshit on this already, okay? You know how I'm calling bullshit on this? Because we have seen video footage of him in the studio with the London Philharmonic playing to the actual film.
I think that quote needs to be qualified a little bit. And Steve, I'm not blaming you on this because I think that's the way it was blasted across about a million different websites. John Williams never seen Star Wars. And I think it's like ... in a theater is how right. that sentence should end there.
Right. Well,
I could totally see that. He's never gone to a theater to see Star Wars. But yes, obviously he scored the films while watching them with his orchestra, so yeah. He has seen the movies, I'm sure. So
if he's scoring them and you have George Lucas there, you have the soundtrack of the dialogue and everything playing there, and you have Ben Burtt, the man who created the soundtrack, standing next to you, you pretty much have the whole thing. You have your own private studio. I get the whole thing not going to a theater, but man, that's a bold statement.
Well, yeah. He addresses a little bit of that. He says, when I'm finished with a film, I've been living with it. We've been dubbing it, recording it, and so on. You walk out of the studio and, it's finished. Then it's time to move on to the next project. So I thought it was interesting. He says, I'm a composer of music, he explained, and I look at Mozart and I look at Beethoven and Bach, the greatest organizers of sound that we've ever had. And you need to be humble when the shoulders that we stand on are so great. And then he says a lot of them, meaning the Star Wars themes, are not very memorable, he says.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with him.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's pretty memorable. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue, you know, it's one of, if not the most famous, you know, soundtrack in movie history.
Yes. Yeah. Even the worst pieces of his music in the original trilogy are memorable. I mean, come on. Nub nub.
Well, I think he's also
Tim Neck.
He's an extremely humble guy, and I mean beyond the guy's just beyond professional and humble, and but I got caught up on this the title of this article too. Couldn't resist sharing that with you all.
You know, I've been as we're moving on to another story here, I've been swamped at work and I haven't had time to look at the show notes or anything like that. But did you see any and did you make note of the Mark Hamill interview recently where he defends a certain cast member of the prequel trilogy?
No, it didn't make its way. It just happened recently, I know, but go ahead, fill us in.
So, I thought he made some really good points, and it'd be nice to have some of the audio to play on this while we're looking this up, Steve. So why don't you get your fingers working there and see what we can do?
Got it.
But so Mark Hamill was on a easy there, Steve.
Good thing this isn't a video podcast.
Doing an interview with a young Lloyd, who of course played the boy Anakin Skywalker from the Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. And the quote from the article I see here is that I couldn't believe some of the things they wrote about the prequels, you know? I mean, really, Beyond I didn't like it, you ruined my childhood. I'm still angry about the way they treated Jake Lloyd, young Anakin Skywalker. He was 10 years old, that boy, and he did exactly what George wanted him to do. Believe me, I understand clunky dialogue. He understands it, what it was, and he has that kindred spirit with him. And he also made some mention of the producers of The People versus George Lucas had come to him looking for an interview piece, and he had sat down with them for a little while, and they were asking him questions, and he mentioned, he goes, I understood from the tone of their questions, while they didn't present it as a total attack piece, they were building a hit piece against George, and he says, it really offended me. He's like, I don't necessarily get along with George 100% of the time. He goes, but I think that the criticism they had was a little bit unfair. So my question to you guys, are we all being unfair to George Lucas, to Jake Lloyd? Are we being unfair?
Are we unfair to Jake Lloyd? I mean, yeah, probably, because he was a kid. But by the same token, it was not a good movie, and his performance contributed to it. I mean, the same
my
as...
boy, my name is Anakin.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same criticism that, you know, Brad Pitt might get in a movie. Oh, Brad Pitt was horrible. Well, maybe Brad Pitt was doing exactly what the director told him to do, and that's what made it horrible. Mm-hmm. Does it suck because he's a kid? Yes.
I mean, to be fair, for poor little 10-year-old Anakin, I mean, Anakin never really got unbad and unannoying throughout that first prequel series trilogy. He was awful and annoying in episodes 2 and 3, so I can only assume that he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing in episode 1. They were writing this character to be awful and annoying and hateable, so in the future when he becomes Darth Vader, you can still hate him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many ways to look at it, and I know we've picked on the acting. I don't think in general we're trying to be mean or heartless to Jake Lloyd. I actually feel pretty bad that, you know, what he's kind of gone through in recent years. But yeah. Honestly, if it's – we all know that George Lucas is not the most easiest director to work with based off of the interviews we've had from all of the main – or the primary cast members of all the films. So I'm almost certain that – it's exactly what Mark Hamill was saying, that he was probably following George's direction to a T, and he played that character exactly how George wanted it. I mean, I think we pick on the fact that it's George's idea, and we kind of give him the hard time and not necessarily Jake Lloyd. The other thing that kind of stands out to me is we also know from all the bonus material and extra material that we've seen off this, there was a documentary off the first DVD that really showcased the beginnings of that film, like the writing stages, all the way to the final product when they debuted it up in San Francisco in front of the first crowd. It's a fantastic documentary. I'm not a big fan of The Phantom Menace, but in that documentary, it shows some of the other actors and some of their test screenings. And one of those actors is Haley Joel Osment, who was fantastic actor, but for some reason George didn't see the connection there and went with Jake Lloyd, and I think more of his innocence and kind of childlike ability to act like a little kid. And you know, that's his decision. He made that choice. I blame Lucas for that, because I think other people would have seen that. I think Haley Joel Osment might have had the acting chops to pull that role off and make it actually a little more intriguing, but he went with that because that's what he liked. So I live with it, with the fact that it's George's decision, and George is the one that, you know, we've heard his acting or his directing style faster and more intense. I mean, not the most open social guy when he's, you know, directing his actors. So I don't blame Jake, and I feel kind of bad for him. I blame George. And I don't feel bad for him and his billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote the dialogue too. I mean, right? I mean, I think you have to lay this at the feet of George Lucas.
You have to. Yeah.
It's a 10-year-old kid you're talking about there. Just, you know, who's stepped onto the Star Wars set. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Steve, I shot over a link on the Facebook thread there. You can bring that up, and that's Mark Hamill talking there.
Ah, great. Thank you.
Before you do, I did want to point this out. I agree wholeheartedly with Mark Hamill on there, especially when he talks about the clunky battle. We know from what they've had in interviews, Mark and Carrie and Harrison have all said, you know, you can write this shit, you just can't say it.
That's right.
I mean, that's, I think, a direct quote from Carrie Fisher at one point. And it's true. I mean, some of that stuff that he wrote was just, nobody talks normally like that. Sort of to force an actor to try and make it sound natural is one of the toughest things to do. And that's where I give actors a lot of credit. So when they can pull that kind of, you know, relatability, talking horrible dialogue. So, I mean, they managed it in the first ones.
Yep. Well, here's Mark Hamill. Let's give it a roll here.
I couldn't believe some of the things they wrote about the prequels. You know? I mean, but really, beyond I didn't like it. You ruined my childhood, and I'm still angry about the way they treated Jake Lloyd. He was only 10 years old, that boy, and he did exactly what George wanted him to do. Believe me, I understand clunky dialogue. So I almost got hornswoggled in that documentary where they weren't calling it The People versus George Lucas at the time, but I could tell from the questions they were asking me, it was an open invitation to trash George. And I have issues with George, but I love that man. I would never, you know, and I don't talk outside the family. It's just brutal. I just, one of the reasons I would never let my kids be in show business. Wait till you're 18, because it's going to be an endless life of rejection, ridicule, and unemployment.
So yeah, we're really excited to make movies.
Interesting. Yeah, so he's
so great listening to him.
He's got so much conviction, you know. He's never shy about things.
He's a treasure.
He is.
He's a joker.
He's a smoker.
He's a
midnight toker.
Thank you, Bazinga.
He's actually a joker in the DC universe.
What, Nico? What are you trying to tell me?
You're kidding. Wow. So in the last couple of weeks, more Star Wars in the news. We actually have, and there's been a little bit of politics in the news, guys, too. I don't know if you've followed any of that, but we have a new president.
What?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And comedian Aziz Ansari was hosting Saturday Night Live, and you know, he had in his opening monologue, he had a lot of political jokes and political bent to his act, and threw in a Star Wars line. I thought it was pretty good. He was talking about how the fact is that, you know, President Trump has a different approach to governing than President Obama did, and but it's okay because, you know, we're all Americans, and if we remember that we're all Americans and we try to get along, everything will be okay, except there's one problem.
The problem is there's a new group. I'm talking about this tiny slice of people that have gotten way too fired up about the Trump thing for the wrong reasons. I'm talking about these people that as soon as Trump won, they're like, we don't have to pretend like we're not racist anymore. We don't have to pretend anymore. We can be racist again. Woo! Whoa, 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 whoa. No, no. If you're one of these people, please go back to pretending. You gotta go back to pretending. I'm so sorry we never thanked you for your service. We never realized how much effort you were putting into the pretending, but you gotta go back to pretending. I know it's been a rough couple of years. Obama, Empire, Hamilton, it's just been hit after hit after hit. Star Wars movies where the only white characters are stormtroopers. I get it. It's been rough.
It's been rough. It's been
even
rough.
The stormtroopers aren't all white.
He was on Parks and Rec.
Great show.
Oh my God, that show was brilliant.
Lots of Star Wars in pop culture. It's everywhere.
It is. Honestly, I thought you were going to pull the Chasing Amy Star Wars reference on me.
Oh,
that we need to hear sometime on the show.
Well, let's pull that out for sure.
Yeah.
With your magic fingers.
Oh, they're so...
Scott, what's a Nubian?
I can't even... Dave, don't do this to me, man. I can't do it right now.
Do you?
Scott is a little bit inebriated, I think, possibly.
What? You know, but... And God bless Scott. And I mean, we all love him. But you know, we're talking about current references and everything like that. And Scott thinks you're going to pull a 30-year-old movie.
Yes,
that movie's 30 years old. I guess.
Hey, we're talking. We have a podcast talking about a 40-year-old movie. I mean, come on.
I don't know. It's probably 20 years old. Actually, it's probably not 30. It's probably 20 years old because it came out late 90s, right?
97.
Clerks. Yeah.
Well, oh, so it's exactly 20 years old. There you go.
Well, you know what is 20 years old though?
Chasing Amy.
No.
Yes, he said it was 97.
No, but okay. Well, you know what else is 20 years old?
Math. It's hard.
Most of the jokes we say on this show. What is 20 years old, Dave?
No, the special editions.
Oh my God!
Wow! No.
Mind blown.
That's
you mean Jabba Turd?
I mean Greedo shooting first is 20 years old. Last week.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. It came out in January. What, January 14th, 21st?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I took that. You know what, Dave? I'm glad you brought this up. That's an interesting thing. That was the very first vacation I ever took from a job, was to go Friday to see the reissue, the special edition, three times in one day. I think it was three times. Yes, two times at Grauman's in a row, and then drove from there down to Irvine Center to see it one time down there.
Was that A New Hope?
That was for A New Hope. And then I did it February 21st for Empire Strikes Back, and then March 5th, I believe, or 10th.
Did we watch those in theaters, Greg?
Yes, we went to Big Newport and saw all three of them.
Me.
Nice.
That was the first Star Wars experience you had had in a theater, was all three of those movies.
Greg, I think we lost volume on you, man.
How about now?
Oh, there we go.
Lean into that mic.
How about now?
Yeah, a little bit more. Get just friendly with it.
Oh my God. Well, we got one more story to cover, guys, and that is well, that is NASA. NASA released some photos this last week of Saturn's moon.
That's no moon.
It actually was a moon. That looks like the Death Star. Did you guys see that photo?
It's got a giant crater on it.
That thing was cool, man. That was awesome.
Is it Titus? Is that the one, or
is it Titus?
which moon was it?
I'll take Titus for 60.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek.
Your mother was milking it last night, Trebek.
I didn't know we had Sean Connery on the show now. Wow.
It's just the way another life said.
Sean Good Connery Brian has.
From earlier, now Sean Connery. This is great.
Sean hasn't been on the show in a long time, Greg. Well, NASA scientists say this is a new photo of a moon near the planet Saturn. Others are denying the claim. Take a look at the photo and you'll see an awfully close resemblance to the Death Star from Star Wars. And that's from ABC.com.
Sweet.
Pretty cool. I'm sorry, Nico. What were you saying?
No, I don't think I had anything important to say. All right. As per usual on this podcast when I'm talking to you gentlemen.
I don't think we all have anything important to say. It's fine, man.
The moon... Titus that Scott's trying to refer to. Isn't it called Titan?
Titan. Did I say Titus? Wow, I'm all over the board. Hey, it's like I'm drinking tonight. Woohoo!
I think you said Titus, Trebek.
Scott is just getting going and we're quitting now.
Wow. I think it was that
Aziz Ansari quote that brought the show to a screeching halt. I don't know.
I'm ready. Round two. Let's do the next podcast. Let's go.
Well, guys, if you want to talk about Aziz Ansari, find us on Facebook.
I'm pretty sure the moon is Mimas.
That's facebook.com/ Wretched Hive Podcast. Nemus?
Mimas?
Mimas.
We are also findable on Twitter. You can tweet at us at Wretched Hive Pod. Sorry, at Wretch Hive Pod.
It doesn't matter. Just give whatever address you want.
At Greg Lent on Twitter. Probably the best way to find us, though, is through iTunes. Search your podcast feed for The Wretched Hive. And we are the first podcast to show up there. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, listeners of The Wretched Hive. Guys, episode 29 is in the books. Any final thoughts?
Can we reel it in and bring this train back to the tracks again?
I'm excited about the Han Solo movie. I am legit excited that thing has started shooting.
Oh, you know, one thing I didn't mention, Dave. I wanted to bring this up with you. There's a book that's coming out in May called Guardians of the Wills. In May 2017. Rogue One, Guardians of the Wills. Something along those lines.
Not aware of it, but okay. I will check that out.
All right.
Mochi root.
Good. It's a good thing we saved that for the show.
We will.
We'll talk about it next time. How about that? It's a tease for the next episode.
It's been an odd show tonight, frankly. But we are glad you joined us. And all I can say is, may the force be with us all.
It's a Greg Rucka book, so I am definitely checking this out.
What a way to start year two.